Welcome to the room, and we are going to talk about how we got our gospel. And we'll cover the first half tonight. Unfortunately, we have to wait till tomorrow. We'll pick it up again tomorrow night and finish it, I hope. But those who had been under Israel's covenants were aware of God's exceeding great and precious promises to them. One of the central promises was that of making Israel a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, the land from which Christ would rule the world for 1,000 years, all prophesied. Let's look at those verses starting in Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Exodus 19, verse 6. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. From the time it was first given, there was a condition on that promise in Exodus 19:5, and that condition was if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. But Israel did not keep God's covenant. Israel did not obey God's voice. They did not keep God's commandments. Israel was not a holy nation. Israel's disbelief rightfully provoked God. Let's look in Kings. Welcome to the room. Kings 14:23. Let's see, 14:23. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. Ezekiel 6:13. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, upon every high hill in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. And it's really amplified here in Jeremiah, starting in, it'll be in chapter 7, and then we go to 44. Jeremiah 7:18, the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Jeremiah 44, verses 3, 8, and 25, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers, in that you provoked me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whether ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off and that you might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. You will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. When God sent his only begotten Son into the world to his people, Israel, his own received him not. Israel provoked God by rejecting and rebelling against the Father, and then the Son, and now finally against the Holy Ghost. Israel provoked God by rejecting and rebelling the Father through their prophets, Israel's prophets, Acts 7:52. It's noted, and John 7:19 about disobeying the law. Israel provoked God by rejecting and rebelling against the Son of God on the cross. John 19, verse 6. And then we see it again, especially in Matthew 27, verse 25. And finally, that was the Father rejecting the Father, rejecting the Son. Finally, Israel provoked God by rejecting and rebelling against the Holy Ghost, crying out with a loud voice against the Holy Ghost in the speaking of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verses 57 and 58. Two verses especially there, especially 57. The words cried out just about match Matthew 12:32. Matthew 12:32 is where he told them that that would be an unforgivable sin. And Israel fell. Right then, that's when they fell. When they committed that sin of stoning Stephen, filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking to them the words of the Holy Ghost, and they cried out against him. Those references are authority for this whole doctrine. Let's not pass over them lightly. Israel rejected and rebelled against the Father. That was Acts 7:52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and the murderers. John 7:19, we mentioned. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go you about to kill me? Israel rejected and rebelled against the Father. Now let's look at how Israel rejected and rebelled against the Son. John 19:6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, and get this, Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Matthew 27:25, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And it is. Finally, let's see how Israel rejected and rebelled against the Holy Ghost. Here's that verse, Matthew 12:32. And whoso, this is Jesus talking to his apostles, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And in Acts 7, 57 and 58, we see they did that very thing. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, verse 58, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Israel rejected and rebelled against the Holy Ghost in those verses, Acts 7, 57 and 58. God waited until Israel had fallen in Acts 7 before he began revealing the mystery of Christ in Acts 9. And that's all according to Acts 26, 16, where Christ said, I will appear unto thee. And when Christ did appear to Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, he gave him a new and different gospel. Look at Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It truly is different. But Israel did fall. Matthew 21:23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Excuse me just a moment here. Matthew 21:42. Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Next verse, Matthew 21:43. Therefore say I unto you, The kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Then we see in Luke 12:32, Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The leadership and majority of the Jews did reject and rebel against the Father and the Son of God and the Holy Ghost. But those Jews that did believe the gospel of God were part of the little flock remnant of believing Israel that Jesus made a nation in Matthew 20, well, the verses we read, Matthew 21:43 and Luke 12:32. Jesus made that little flock of believing Israel a nation. There are at least three different prophecies about how God would provoke apostate Israel to change their mind about their Messiah. First off, let's consider a prophecy that shows that God provoked apostate Israel to believe God by signs, the signs he himself showed them, as well as signs through believers. Look at Numbers 14, verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? We can see those signs scattered from Israel's exodus from Egypt, through the Old Testament, through Christ's earthly ministry, through the acceptable year of the Lord in Acts 1 through 6, as well as through the body of Christ during a dispensation of the gospel in at least Acts 13 through 19, and through the signs of an apostle in Acts 13 through 28. Israel provoked God by disbelieving him and his signs, the signs that were designed to help them believe. Okay, secondly, let's consider another prophecy that was prophesied to Israel about a work that God will do and that he will tell them about it, but they will still not believe him. Apostate Israel continued to provoke God by their disbelief. Look at Habakkuk 1:5. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Behold you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your, I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. All right, let's look at an Acts event that Paul associates with that prophesied work that we read about in Habakkuk 1:5. We'll look in Acts 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work." The work. The work whereunto I have called them. Acts 13:41. If there's any doubt, Paul quotes them, "Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Verse 42, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought him." That's not us. That's the Gentiles that were in that synagogue, because they were believing Jews, excuse me, believing Gentiles, called Greeks, other places. The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Verse 43, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Acts 13:44, "And the next Sabbath day came," "almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Verse 45, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Acts 13:46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Again, that's those Gentiles that had asked that it be the word of God be preached to them. Those Gentiles that had been in the synagogue when Paul came. Here in Acts 13, Paul connects the Old Testament prophecy of Habakkuk 1:5 with the actual fulfillment event in Acts 13, verses 14 to 52. During his dispensation of the gospel. Make no mistake. Don't mistake this. Don't add something to it or think that we're saying something we're not. The mystery of Christ is not prophesied. Nor is it in prophecy. It's hidden. It's a secret. Kept a secret. Acts 13:45 reports that the Jews spake against and contradicted those things which were spoken by Paul. As Paul traveled from synagogue to synagogue, the Jews continued to commit their unforgivable sin of speaking against the Holy Ghost, as warned against in Matthew 12:32. And we'll close with reading that verse again. "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And remember, that was spoken to the apostles, to Israel, not to us. Okay? All right. I'm done with what I prepared for today.